Well, I mean, to bring it back to the ecological framework of how it is, I think that whole concept of the side hustle, as you say, the parallel framework or separate track, is you can see an evolution over time. I think the network effect that is really prevalent now, it's super easy now to actually make money online because everything has been dumbed down in the technology where you don't have to be a high IQ, you know, technical person to do this stuff anymore. It's very right. easy to do. And, you know, the pay process mechanisms, you can get, like, currency from all around the world and cryptocurrencies and whatever else, right? So that's all easy now. It's very quick. So whereas in the past you had networks like Amway or, you know, other buyers clubs like Weight Watchers and Tupperware parties and stuff where you had, you know, physical infrastructure or some sort of, even if it was like a software in the sense of a training. Yeah, it actually required people to come together, right?
Yeah. So you have the freedom of the chip body in all the ways you're talking about, but nobody can get back to the chemical body for the issues that are relevant there that the TV body takes advantage of. So TV keeps harping on climate change and the basic bullshit of proper living, supposedly proper corporate living, and that's why they feel justified in censoring those that don't get it, because that's all the TV body can do is talk about the chemical body and improving the chemical body scene, even though they're half the problem because they distract from the chemical body. Not as bad as the chip body, but they go hand in hand with the chip body. So those two bodies undermine what they think they're working towards, which is a better world for the chip, the chem body. So it's so bad for the chemical body, you're going to go into a feudalism. You know, you can't stop it. As long as you keep the technology going the way it is.
Hey, Bob, everybody. Yeah. I'm sorry for the problem there. I had to, like Clinton, he's at a family thing. The family members arrived here at the house. I wasn't know when
you
they
don't
were
have a family, Greg. What are you talking about? You don't have.
Well, I do have kind of a family.
There's no such thing anymore.
All right, I'm kind of a family.
You're fucking acquaintances. Liar, Greg.
People
you're
I know.
Just to be talking about the chemical body.
His mistress showed up. Catherine's not there. His mistress showed up.
I'm going to take my leave now, unfortunately. But I'm sorry for any inconvenience, and I'll be back next week. Hopefully, if Bob will let me.
Yeah, next time I'll look to see that you were on there twice. I don't know if I muted both, but I did notice when I came back that we're listed twice.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay, anyway, again, my apologies, and have a good rest of the show. Might come in a bit later.
Nobody gets fired.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, nobody gets fired here, Greg.
All right, that's a good thing to know.
Nobody gets fired.
Good night.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey,
okay, so Steve, I wrapped it up what you're talking about. I put it into the proper language. End of topic, and you're overinformed. Start reading Croker, which we're going to do here now. I'm going to do some Croker for you, Steve. Let's see how you react.
Okay.
All right, so we're doing the tech body, according to my notes. I don't think we had to do too much last week. We just did one page, I think, one section. Don't remember doing much. So I will go to, that's like around page 27. So looking here, 27, 28. Yeah, we did. Remember we talked about biblical prophecies. I remember talking about that. Croker actually saying stuff. Here's a sentence on Quadrophenia. While many different perspectives gather under the revival tent of technological rapture, one common thing remains: an abiding faith that technological society is quickly delivering us to a future inaugurated by a singularity event, that epochal time in which intelligent machines take command, with promises of a mind merger with a data world, that is fluid, mobile, relational, and indeterminate. Fluid, mobile, relational, and indeterminate. I think we read that. Sounds familiar? I don't think you were here, Brian. You were at music last week, so you didn't hear this. Steve, does it sound familiar to you?
I was only following, able to follow along a little bit last week.
Right. And, you know, you made a statement at the beginning of the chat line about the data world is not information. So, remember you posted that during the songs?
I feel like that line, that could maybe be a useful prequel line to put ahead of the beginning of Zappa's poem. You know, that, like, even information is like, people get data and that's not even information, which is not knowledge.
Right.
Which is not.
Yeah, it needs to be updated. It needs to be updated, his statement. Right. So with that distinction about data is not information, let me reread what I just read to see if it says something different from what you're saying. While many different perspectives gather under the revival tent of technological rapture, one common thing remains, an abiding faith that technological society is quickly delivering us to a future inaugurated by a singularity event, that epochal time, you know, singularity event, in which intelligent machines take command with promises of a mind merger with a data world. And that merger with the data world is fluid, mobile, relational, and indeterminate. Can't figure things out. It's eschatological, the fourth level of exegesis. It's fluid, mobile, relational, and indeterminate. A lot of whatever, a lot of, well, I had to figure that one out. Yep, I don't think that'll ever be figured out. And that's all parts of quadriphenia. So then down below that, he talks about Ray Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil's promised land of blended reality, just like the mind merger with the data world. So there is maybe no difference between data and information, Brian. That's the no mind world we're in. When you say data and information are separate, that's thinking there's something that can distinguish them.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't being very rigorous about thinking that through.
Yeah. You just wanted to type something. Okay, in Kurzweil's promised land of blended reality, the sky is the limit, with traditional boundaries dissolving between nature and human nature, between the material and the virtual, and the enduring vulnerability of the human body with its defining limits of illness and death finally transcended. So even illness and death are wiped out. The enduring vulnerability of the human body with its defining limits of illness and death is finally transcended. Let's see, what is the noun here? Okay, powered by advances in nanotechnology, artificial intelligence, and gene editing. So you got three phases, nanotechnology, artificial intelligence, gene editing. The world, well, that's pretty vague. What is the world? The world, as we have always known it, will be in a sudden eclipse. So the world of visual space, kinetic space, we have always known it will be in sudden eclipse, and all this change will take place under the rising sun of a technological cornucopia. Hmm. Now, do we have a technological cornucopia after COVID? I don't think we have a technological cornucopia after COVID.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Certainly within that realm that they're speaking of. I mean, the whole concept of gene editing, they did mention that before COVID, the idea that people would accept such a therapy, they figured there would be a lot of hesitancy. But since everyone's taken, not everyone, but a high proportion of people that have already taken the COVID shots have taken the mRNA shots, they've already done so. So they're looking already at using the mRNA to deal with all kinds of other issues. You know, this concept being talked openly, as essentially you can program the body to do whatever you want, and it's not that complicated once you've got the delivery mechanism sorted out. That's the blessing and the curse, right?
Right, you get the right now,
recipe wrong.
It's a right now it's a minority view, but it's increasing. People are a bit nervous about vaccines and whatever the gene editing is. Maybe not the chip body, artificial intelligence.
I think the argument, even some people that are against these COVID-specific mRNA vaccines might have an issue with, say, the lipid nanoparticle and or the recipe that creates the spike protein. They might say that that's no good, but they might look at the technology itself and say that it, in and of itself, might be a life-saving or life-altering technology for the right patient, right? So it may, if you're talking with someone that has terminal cancer and you can inject them with this thing, you're not worried about some side effects from the lipid nanoparticle, you know, if it's going to save their life. Same thing with any, you know, other potential issue. Now, the whole thing is it goes from the range of that all the way to literally engineering superhumans, right? So, people that are, you know, picking the best of the best genes from whatever it is that they want, and they don't have to do it all at once. It doesn't even have to be a designer baby. You can take a fully formed person and essentially transfer their genes with one shot, right? I don't know if it's necessarily just one shot, but it would certainly trigger off the effect, right? So,
well, this is, it sounds part like of you can't make it. You can't make a generalization about where the public is going mood-wise. It's always many directions, which is maybe running on the same spot and just spiraling through the same intersectionality chart. Let's see. So, how would you see if you wrote something, you'd have to project that there was a general mood out there. Like this woman, Heather Richardson, saying the Republicans are dominating. That's not the actual fact, but you can't write about a world of variety. That is actually what we're living, a world of decentralization and moods. You, if you point out the chaos with a few Phineas Wake quotes, no journalist will, magazine will take that. You got to pretend to have a point of view, and that it's going in one direction, and it could be horrible. 1934 is coming back. When you're reading what the meme of print says, and anybody can fit into that meme and write some silly thing about a mood that's coming. Because, I would just say that in light of the last 5 years, especially the last 2 years, there's been a lot of money-making and interesting phenomena people have engaged in because they can. They're not subject to the COVID panic. A lot of people went through it and weren't affected much by it at all, depending on where they were. And maybe you could say, look in the third world, right? In Africa and that. They don't even have anybody dying. So it's a decentralized image, which the newspaper used to give us every day, but it always was under the New York Times, you know, the headline of an integrated space and time. How do you present? This is why McLuhan said you, the only valid art is collage, like Zappa would present all the time. Collage, that's closest to where we're at. If you want somebody to tell you where we're at, you've got to deal with the collage effect. But you can't make articles in Atlantic Monthly or any other respectable magazine, legacy magazine, with collage. Where do you do collage? You do it in zines.
Mm.
And zines became very popular in the 90s before the internet because for the younger people, that's more reality. They lived it. Okay, so that's just a spin-off from the theme of Quadrophenia. Coker calls many different perspectives gather under the revival tent. And then he had the merger of the mind and the data world is fluid, mobile, relational, and indeterminate. Okay, so then the next quote, 28, 31. Let's see what he's got here. Now, Clinton's here. I muted him because he's making noise. Are you there, Clinton?
Clinton!
Who's that? Oh, yeah, Clinton. are you there, Clinton? Is he drumming?
Is that him typing?
He's drumming?
More likely typing, I think.
Okay, so I'll mute if he makes more noise.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. You got me.
Yes, we're doing Croker as we end the show.
You made it.
If you want to comment.
Oh well, actually, I've got a crazy ass story to tell you. I'm here in Edmonton. This is a good show.
No, hey, Clinton, we can go another... Clinton, no, I want to ask you Croker, and then we can go another hour. Listen, Clinton, go another hour. We go another hour. Get recorded.
I'm going another hour. I won't be there.
Are you only here for a minute?
I'm only here for a few minutes. I got a crazy story, and then my cab is going to be here, and then I'm going to go see my aunts and uncles.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so... So I get a phone call when I'm at the airport flying here, and it's from my mom. And she's been here 2 days longer than I have been. And she woke up 8 o'clock in the morning to a phone call from the Auditor General of the court, who said that all of her accounts were going to be seized if she didn't transfer her accounts into a new fund. She was got ripped out of bed. And took a cab to a bank to withdraw as much money as she could, got led to a fucking Bitcoin ATM machine, and she's standing in front of this thing, and I go, what the fuck am I doing at Bitcoin?
No.
What the fuck? Oh my god, no. She's got like $9,000 in her pocket, right? And she turns and looks, and there's a big guy in a uniform with a gun in his holster, and she's like, oh my god, the police officer, and she looks at him in the eye and goes, you know what? Bitcoin machine, what are you doing? Maybe I'm just going to call the police. And the guy took the phone from her, took the phone from my mom and said, and the line's like, oh, what do you mean? Like, you know, like, who's this? I'm like, fuck you. Tell me who you are. And the guy said to the man on the phone, oh, yeah, you're the auditor general, eh? Okay, well, come down here and I'll fuck your fucking dick. And he hung up on him and,
The officer did not say and do the thing. It was the man on the telephone trying to scam me, telling the officer to come on down or I'll come down there and whatever my son just said to you. So anyway, this gentleman made my arse. And he got in a cab, sent me back to my bank, not my bank because I'm in Edmonton. I live in Toronto, got me to a bank. And I deposited all my money back again. So it was fine and dandy, but I was one step away from calling $9,000 to somebody.
Wow.
Yeah, these fucking scum of the earth.
Wow.
Fuck, taking advantage of my fucking mother. Seriously. If you cash
from cool,
up,
man.
He told me that they were saying, no, when you can't call anyone else. This is all right. This is national.
Yeah, my phone was ringing. They would
like this. Fucking holding hostage a woman for fucking an hour or
2 hours.
2 hours.
Cab rides.
Yeah. To get her in front of a fucking ATM, a Bitcoin ATM machine, for fuck's sake. So I'm really fucking glad I flew out here today, and we changed all of her passwords on her internet shit, and it's been the last 20 minutes fucking going through all that stuff, and yeah, God knows what else we got. But no, it wasn't even a cop. It was a Brinks officer. It was the dude there to get the money for the deposit from the convenience store.
But he
the armored Conan?
Wow.
On the phone, wait a minute, I'm not doing anything, get calm. Maybe I'll just phone the police. So that's where he came in and put his hand out, and I handed him my phone. And then he got rid of the bum for me.
Nice.
with money and chat.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Good job.
Our hero, the blue at Brinks.
Well, Clinton, that's what we're reading. We're reading Croker's book on the death of the social. And that was a symptom of it.
Yeah, that sociopath going around manipulating people over a fucking telephone. Mm-hmm. That's the death of the social, right? Yeah. Holy fuck.
All right, Bob, thanks for listening to me.
All right, what's your name?
Laurie.
Laurie, nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too, Bob. I've seen you on TV a few times.
Awesome.
Awesome experience, I know. Hope to see you on TV someday.
Trust me, I have to go and get a beer after I watched you.
Yes, I know, it's depressing.
Anyway, you have a good day, sir.
Yeah, we're taking off now.
Okay, Clinton, have a good time. Are you gone next week, Clinton?
No, I'll be back for next week.
Okay. All right, thanks.
All right.
Talk again soon. Glad that ended well.
Yeah, hey, all thanks, right. Guys. Bye.
And Croker will hear the story. Right. Okay. Yeah. So,
get in touch with him a bit.
What'd you say, Brian?
We're going to get in touch with him about it.
No, if he ever hears the recording, he'll hear this little story in the middle of it. So this section I have here, not Tech Body, but it's one of his inventories, which are often interesting. So he says, given the sheer complexity of contemporary global society, with its mixture of recidivist social movements, that means trying to get back to the past, I guess, mixture of recidivist social movements, global climate change, fully unpredictable human desire. Unpredictable human desire. I want to be a punctuation point. Economic turbulence, and of course, changing rhythms of bodily health and the many diseases of the aged and the sick. So you've got, this is a normal inventory anybody could make, right? They might not think of social movements as recidivists. You got to be a little sophisticated about that. Because most people want social movements. But you got global climate change, unpredictable human desires. Some people wouldn't think of that. But they got economic turbulence and changing rhythms of bodily health and the many diseases of the aged and the sick. So given all that, Ray Kurzweil's vision is startling. You know, he's a utopian. Less so for its naivety, not just because it's naive, than for its feverish embrace of an approaching technological state of bliss. So that's a huge naivety there. He's saying not so much its naivety than for its feverish. Okay, so he so fanatically thinks that bliss is coming. He calls it transcendent, teleological, and terminal. Three kinds of bliss, or three aspects of the bliss. His vision, Kurzweil's vision, is transcendent because its overriding faith in machine intelligence and nanotechnology and gene research, that's just what Steve was saying, is premised on the imperative of, quote, overcoming our frail bodies with their limitations. So we feel that we have frail bodies, frail chemical bodies, and we can overcome the limitations with technology. So it's a transcendent vision because of his faith of it. So then Croker says here, with Kurzweil, unlike the Christian belief first articulated by St. Augustine in De Trinitate, and what did Augustine say? With its division of the body into corruptible flesh and the perfect incorporeality of the state of grace. So division of the body into corruptible flesh, but then there's a state of grace. But that's incorporeal. It's discarnate. So unlike all that stuff of the Christians, the newest of all the singularities is intended to lead to a new heaven of computation. So that's the transcendent level. Now, the teleological. His vision is teleological because this vision of the new singularity invests the will to technology with a sustaining, indeed inspiring purpose, overcoming the unknown country of death, So it's teleological, which is about end matters. So it's a vision of dealing with the end matter of your own death. So we got transcendent, teleological. The will to technology is that it will overcome death sometime. And the third level, it's terminal, because it is also a philosophy of end times. Certainly the end of the human species as we have known it, but also the end of easily distinguishable boundaries between the biological and the mechanical, or between physical and virtual reality. So biological and mechanical or machinic, which is the same as physical and virtual. So there's no difference. Therefore, that leads to the end times. So someone's typing and clicking. Don't type. Or mute if you're going to type. So you see that, Steve? You got three levels of a frenetic embrace of the state of bliss. Transcendent, teleological, and terminal. So then he says, in Kurzweil's vision, the nanotechnology revolution is, in fact, revolutionary precisely because it will facilitate the creative construction of new bodies and technologically enhanced minds for life beyond the current, quote, limitations of biology. So beyond the chemical body, you know, we've got the TV body and chip body and mystery body, more bodies coming. So he includes that in his analysis. So that's pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
In response?
It outlines, well, to me, what makes me think of is the artificial ascension, that the parallel track that Ion has referred to in the past.
Right.
The idea that, you know, you guys and what you are doing is the correct, if you will, way to do it. And
yep.
What they're proposing is an artificial best guess, absent your knowledge and your influence. That's what they're coming up with.
Yeah, it's what Ion calls ascension by default. It's done for you. You have no control or no understanding of it. And now when you say it's done by us, we actually say our RNA drops will make you not dieable. You won't die. So that's just quite a claim we're coming up with. But we're coming up with some kind of non-technological solution made out of barley. You could say it's sort of early technology, but it ain't as complicated as what's going to replace you by default to get you transcendently immortal. So, that's a good point there. You got there. The nanotechnology revolution is revolutionary because it will facilitate the creative construction of new bodies and technologically enhanced minds for life beyond the current limitations of biology. It is the end, therefore, of the biological body as we have known it, and the beginning of something very novel. What is that novelty? The novelty is the merger of natural biology with its surrounding environment of technologies of the post-biological, that is, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, molecular science, and neurobots. As to be expected, in return for the sacrifice of a natural biological cycle of life and death, sacrifice that, the creation myth framing technological rapture has promises of its own to keep. Here's what it promises. A fully realized future of living indefinitely with nanobots streaming through the bloodstream in our bodies and brains. So living indefinitely for a long time, as long as you accept the nanobots going through your bloodstream. It'll be a time of telepathy in the form of wireless communication from one brain to another. So that sounds like a technical thing. So time about tech body supported events. And the third one, improved pattern recognition by overcoming the inherent limitations of natural cognitive evolution in favor of brain implants, marking the inception, then the triumph of non-biological intelligence. So, like we said earlier, it's machines take over, very subtle machines. In effect, the vision of technological rapture is conceived as a marvelous, ready-made, AI toolbox for constructing do-it-yourself bodies. This chapter is called Do-It-Yourself Bodies, DIY. In effect, the vision of Technological Rapture is conceived as a marvelous ready-made toolbox for constructing DIY bodies. So that's the tech body, what it's bringing in. So, the jet, what'd you say?
Oh, nothing. Just
right. So the general consensus is people with different levels of sophistication in articulating it all say, and you, in their various forms of expression, we're going post-human. They might not use that word, but they feel something dramatic is happening that is pretty devastating for the normal human biological image of itself. So
yeah.
Coker is spelling out what is now a general mood. I guess anywhere in the world, not everywhere. Now, somebody did a talk the other day, and apparently the eyes of the Egyptian Sphinx have closed. And it's causing a big problem in Cairo because it's part of the folklore that when the Sphinx closes its eyes, it's the end of the world. So a lot of Egyptians are thinking about being post-human because of the Sphinx at this point.
Did you read the chat, Bob? Ion.
Oh, let's see.
Was posted.
I know Ion's on there, but
What's he saying? Natural disasters in the U.S. anyway, and also plane downing, I think.
Okay, let me see.
Not to distract you too much.
Right. No, it's if you're interested in Ion, I'll go there. Let's see.
Well, I'll say one thing while you're looking that up.
No, I got there. I'm there.
One of the big.
Okay, I'm there. So where Ion says, there's pulsating shadow. We gotta address some of his issues, but. Roll the ball, Clinton. Clinton is as high as a grocery bill. He is fucking the lily as he slurs his missive words. Oh, God.
Way up there.
Oh, God. Poor.